This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome into the Doug Marrone Show. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. No Doug Marrone tonight. We'll have him again week one of the regular season because there are preseason football games the next four Thursday nights for the Jaguars. What's up, Logs? How are we doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Absolutely beautiful weather out there today for the Jaguars practice from a player standpoint.
It's been nice the last few days.
Cloudy, right? Overcast, yeah. Got a little breeze going, a little bit of light rain every now and again. I mean, from a player standpoint, you feel like you can work forever in conditions like that. It was good practice, too, by the way.
Now, that would be nice two-a-day conditions, right? If you had the both practices like that.
There's no such thing anymore.
If there were, you would love those conditions.
Yeah, no, it was good, and it was a good practice. You know, I think you could kind of feel a little bit of the energy because of the weather. You know, kind of gives you a little bit of a little bit of a jolt, I think. And it was very apparent during the 9-on-7 period, which the fans that were at practice today got kind of a treat because they were literally backed up right by the stands at practice for the 9-on-7 drill. So the fans that were there today got to see it up close and personal. And it was a good physical drill. And that's good to see, you know, because, I mean, when you got the pads on a 9-on-7 drill, if this team is going to be where it wants to be, which they've talked about being a physical football team, yeah, that's the drill that needs to start to stand out for this team. And I thought it looked good. It felt good. And I was happy with it.
And they did some live goal line work today, too, which is they were taking guys to the ground at goal line.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting in that, you know, they placed the ball down there at the one-yard line. And, you know, of course, they're calling for their goal line groups on defense and the heavy personnel on offense. And then when they're, you know, both sides are huddled up, you know, head coach Doug Marrone walks to the offense, this is live. Walks over to the defense, this is live. And the first play, you know, you're thinking that it's going to be, you know, a downhill run that's going to be, you know, smash mouth football. What is it? Play action pass. And I said, that's the sucker call
right
there.
Yep.
The first live drill in practice, a goal line drill, the defenders are so amped up and they all bite on the run fake because they're thinking it's live and it's going to be a big collision and it's a little, you know, play pass to Mercedes Lewis in the back of the end zone and Telvin Smith lost him in coverage and touchdown.
Yep. And then not long after that, Leonard Fournette had a jump over the top of everybody.
I was holding my breath.
Your first-round pick flying around through the air in training camp, but it gives you an idea of what could be done down around the goal line.
Yeah, I was kind of holding my breath on that, probably just like everybody else was when he goes up and over. And, you know, because usually when you go up and over, there's something to land on or somebody to land on.
Yeah.
But when he went up and over, there was no, you know, padded mattress of bodies on the other side of the over part of that where he kind of came down on the ground pretty hard. And I'm like, okay, you know, get up.
I don't think we need to see that anymore. I think we've seen enough of that.
Yeah, you know, no, but you know what?
We get it. You can jump, Leonard.
Fournette, you know, just continues to look fantastic.
He really does.
Love watching him practice, you know, because, you know, here's a highly touted guy coming out at every level. Whether, you know, it's been little league, high school, college, you know, and a lot of times, at least my experience has been, and not all have been this way, but the ones that have been gifted so early typically don't have a great work ethic because they've had so much talent to be better than everybody else. They've never had to learn the work ethic.
Like a drive, you know, because they're always that much ahead.
Right. Yeah. You know, the guys that you typically see have the great work ethic and practice habits are the ones that, you know, late bloomers, you know, that didn't have the physical dominance early on in their athletic career and had to learn to work. But I think that's the one thing that has impressed me the most about Fournette. He finishes runs. He finishes each play that he's out there. He competes play in and play out, and that's really good to see. When you're talking about an upper echelon back, because that's what he's expected to be, you want to have your really strong players have strong practice habits that filter into the others, and that's been impressive by him.
It is impressive, and he said the other day that it got easier for him when the pads went on, which is kind of opposite of what you would think, right?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, you know, because you're carrying the extra weight and everything. But, you know, he's a padded type football player. I mean, his game is built on being physical and being powerful. And so it fits. And so there's definitely, you know, when you watch him practice and you watch a T.J. Yeldon or Chris Ivory or Corey Grant, there's something different when you watch Fournette. And it just – it's the speed – it's the vision. It's basically all his traits. You can tell that he's a big step up. Yeah, he is clearly the best running back on this football team.
Ladies and gentlemen, just now walking into the studio, if you're watching on Jaguars.com, there's an empty chair. But not for long, because the pride of the Jaguars,
yeah, fashionably
the first ever draft pick in Jaguars history, his name is on the wall. Tony Baselli joins us tonight for the Doug Marone Show. Hi, Tony. Glad you could make it.
Well, first of all, I'm technically not late. The show I'm on doesn't start till 7, so I'm really early.
Well, no.
And second of all, there was a stalled car on the Hart Bridge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that made it a little more.
Nice. Technically, yeah. I have a text here asking you to be on at 6, which you said yes.
That's Joe Fortunato.
Joe, come on, man.
Max, do we have a shot of the Hart Bridge? Are these guys in traffic?
We probably do, which will reveal him to be a liar.
No, there was traffic. I'm telling you, there was traffic.
Okay, we're glad you're here. We're in the middle of discussing.
You had to start the show that way, huh?
Well, yeah, that's all right.
We started the show about 10 minutes
started,
ago,
yeah.
No,
started like 7
when I got here.
No, we already started.
I thought it just started.
We're in the middle of discussing Leonard Fournette's first few days at camp. Your first impressions of the first-round pick, Tony?
There are certain guys that you watch on a football field that just look different, and he looks different. And it's so hard sometimes. You want to reserve judgment because, you know, the running back position is sometimes tough because they're not going live outside of the goal line stuff today. And so you wonder, you know, exactly what is it going to look like once you start getting out there in the preseason, the regular season. But the way he cuts, the way he explodes, the way he moves and finishes runs, he looks different.
He's seen the same thing. You know, the one thing I think that's, you know, he's a big man, 227. He was probably a little bit heavier than that in the OTAs. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about the finishing part, it's finishing running away from people at the end. I mean, he's got speed. You know, I'm not saying he's got Fred Taylor speed, because what Fred had was truly unique.
That was 4.29.
But I mean, this guy's big and he's fast. He's not an Earl Campbell that's just going to be, you know, taking on 6 guys every play. He's a guy that's, when he gets in the open, he could go the distance.
So you know, one of the things that, I mean, some people have said, I think Mercedes started, you know, comparing him to Fred Taylor. He reminds me nothing of Fred Taylor.
No, he's a different back.
Different back. And I'm not saying he's not going to be as good, better, or worse.
It's a different style.
It's just different style. I mean, Fred Taylor was 4.29 at 228, could run you over, and could make cuts like Barry Sanders. I mean, he had that jump cut.
But he didn't play. Fred never played like a big power.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying.
He played like you would expect Corey Grant to play.
Right.
You
know, but he could finish runs if he had to.
Oh, absolutely.
That's my point. That's how he could finish runs. Yeah. I mean, he could really – he didn't do it all the time. But if he wanted to put his head down and deliver a blow, he could. Leonard Fournette is more of a true power back. He doesn't have the wiggle. He has wiggle, but he doesn't have the wiggle of Fred. But he has – downhill finish ability with that lower body to run through arm tackles that I'm looking forward to watching.
When you think of wiggle, you know, the
that
first
was question
one
that, we had about him.
The first one that comes to mind, you know, one of the greatest of all time that had wiggle was Barry Sanders. But, you know, the degree of wiggle sometimes doesn't need to be to that extreme.
No.
Because big, strong, powerful runners, if they can just get you slightly off balance, they're not avoiding you completely, but they're making you off balance and out of step just slightly, to where their speed and power makes the defender not have a chance to be able to bring them down. So when we're talking about Fournette having wiggle, it's not the dance, I'm going to make you miss. It's the subtle move that doesn't allow a defender
to
have a square shot at him.
Yeah.
And when you don't have a square shot – at 227 pounds, that's strong, you don't have a chance.
I would bet he's more than 227, too.
I don't think he is.
I just think he, man, not in a bad way. I mean, he just, his lower body is just, I mean, he is a big, thick dude. I mean, he is, he is impressive. And so everything you watch about him, you know, you watch him catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, it's
which
just,
that was a storyline that, I don't know, he didn't have to catch the ball out of LSU.
Well, that was a storyline. They never threw.
Right. Why would they?
Have they seen
he's
the quarterbacks?
For 300.
Well, have we seen the quarterbacks at LSU lately?
Right. But I mean, he can catch.
He's got great. He's got. I mean, from what I've seen, he's got more than capable hand.
Yeah.
I mean, catching the ball is not going to be a problem at all. I mean, I think I've seen him.
I saw one drop.
All the OTAs that I've seen, the training camp practice, I think I've seen him maybe drop two.
Yeah, I've seen only one.
Degree of wiggle. We're going to go back to that phrase.
You like that?
Sure. Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, because
because he just made it up. That's why you've never heard it before.
No, here's another example. Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
Would you consider Emmitt Smith when he was in his heyday of having great wiggle?
No.
Emmitt was strong. Right. Very strong. He had just that little subtleness of little small cuts, and he was so strong he would run through people. Because he just got him slightly off balance or out of kilter, and then he was strong enough to run through it.
You know, the other thing that has stood out to me from Leonard Fournette, real quick, JP, is just his vision. The cuts that he makes, Jeff, and the way he sees the holes is impressive.
We'll come back and get into the quarterback a little bit later. Neil Reynolds, Sky Sports, was here today and sat down in studio with us. We'll catch up on his tour of training camp around the National Football League. And this is the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
Visit Jaguars.com/get-in-the-game to register for your chance to win a spot on the field at the August 24th game against the Carolina Panthers. 10 lucky winners will receive 2 pregame field passes and 2 tickets to the game. The contest closes today, 11:59 p.m.
You know,
you only got a few hours left to register.
I got
to
get that going on.
Doug Marone Show continues. JP Shadrick. That's Tony Vaselli speaking before his turn, and Jeff Logan.
Well, I mean, you paused for a long time. And Max, focus in on that picture of Doug Marone. That picture, I like that picture.
What?
He just looks so angry.
He does.
It's great.
Angry Doug.
Setting the tone.
I mean, it's just
what we're doing here. On Jaguars.com.
If you watch Jaguars.com. I mean, he just looks like someone stole his lunch money
Or he might have stolen
some. Or he might have stolen
some.
Or
he found something in his Wheaties that wasn't
Yeah, milk. He didn't like what he ate. I mean, I'm not sure, but he is. He ain't happy in that picture, is he?
Yeah. Oh, and here comes Joe Fortunato with
Tony
Vaselli.
Tony Vaselli picture.
There you go.
You're covering the
pride of the Jaguars.
Doug
photograph.
Doug won't be happy about that.
Yeah. Well, he's got a month to come back. He'll be back week one. We'll be back with Doug Marone Show and Jaguars.
Yeah, because every Thursday night's a preseason game.
None of us will be here for the month.
We'll be here.
We'll be here, but we won't be doing the show.
That's right.
Yeah,
because we'll be on the air for games. A Baptist Health injury report before we go too much further today. Some roster moves today. Itavius Mathers, who went down with a cervical spinal cord injury, was released from the hospital. He was waived injured by the Jags today. Carson Tinker is on the reserve injured list with a torn ACL. The long snapper is done, so the Jags have signed 6-year long snapper Matt Overton. He spent a number of years, 80 games, in fact, with the Indianapolis Colts, and was a 2013 Pro Bowler as well. The Jags have also signed first-year guard Malcolm Bunch to the roster today. So there you have it with the
what a shame.
Baptist Health Injury Report. Baptist Healthcare, changing health care for good.
Carson Tinker, yesterday in practice, went down.
I was there. I mean, all of a sudden he's laying right
by
the media was, and kind of I'm like, what happened?
You kind of take, you know, I mean, look, the long snapper you always take for granted until – there's a bad snap. And I don't think he's had a bad snap.
Not that I can think of in his career.
I think he had one that was kind of a couple of them that might have been marginal. But
maybe
for the most part,
first year or two, a couple of shaky ones.
But I mean, for the most part, he's been very consistent. He actually gives decent coverage ability because, you know, he's got decent speed. He's got, you know, good size for a long snapper. Because
Carson Tinker has decent speed.
Yeah, decent speed. I don't want to say he has great speed. One. Decent speed, which, you know, it's adequate.
What do you think he runs, Jeff?
4.87.
4.8.
What do you think? About right?
I don't know.
Had to guess.
I'd say 5 flat.
Yeah, it was 4.87. I'm
guessing. He might be a 4.6 guy. I don't know. That's my guess.
What'd you run, Tony?
At the combine, 5.1 and change, and then my pro day, 4.97.
Yeah, that was about that little
wind induced
that was on
the track. Downhill.
That was on the track with a strong wind behind.
It was downhill
and
too.
A USC coach on the watch.
A strong wind.
Yes,
behind it.
Yes.
Well, let's come back and hear from Neil Reynolds.
It was a 4.97, no matter what.
It was in the book as a 4.97. Right. Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports in the UK will join us when we come back. We'll also talk about Bortles' recovery from the 5-pick night. That's coming up a little bit later.
Mm.
And what he's done since then. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. The Doug Marone Show continues. JP Shattuck will be back with Tony Boselli and Jeff Loggeman coming up. And earlier today, we had a chance to sit down with Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports Television in the United Kingdom. He's taking a tour of training camps in the United States of the teams playing in London. The Jags are there week 3 against the Baltimore Ravens. A different perspective from Neil Reynolds. Neil Reynolds is in town from Sky Sports TV in the UK, Inside the Huddle podcast, NFL UK live events as well. What else do you do that's not on the list, Neil?
I just wrote a preview magazine.
I always leave that one.
The Gridiron Annual Bookazine has come out at the moment. 132 pages. That's in shops across the UK. So, I like to just keep busy in the off season. There is no off season in the NFL, right?
Never. Yeah, 11 months a year, pretty much.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Always something football related. Welcome back to Jacksonville.
Thank you. Always good to be here. I always have a great time coming to see the Jags.
Part of the camp tour for you. This is one of 8 teams you're visiting.
Correct. This is day number 6. So we are seeing 8 teams that are coming to play in London in 8 straight days. So we started out on the West Coast. We were Arizona, then LA, then Minnesota, Baltimore, New Orleans, Jacksonville, and then tomorrow we go to Miami, and then we finish up in Cleveland. So 8 days, 11 flights, 16,500 miles. That's a lot of free peanuts.
Yeah, and one tired commentator, I'm sure.
Yeah, but having fun. But I've discovered it's amazing the people, the cross-section of society you meet sitting on a bench waiting for an airport shuttle bus after midnight. It's not always good, but it's entertaining.
It's different. Yes.
Definitely different.
And entertaining for sure. You're learning quickly around here. So you spent the day with the Jaguars. You got to sit down with head coach Doug Marone. How different of a feel just a few hours into the building here is it compared to the past few years?
Yeah, I mean, well, you kind of talk to the players. As we're setting up, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff, we're revealed behind the curtain. But the cameraman's setting up the equipment, getting ready to go. He's putting a microphone on the player, and you engage in small talk while you're waiting. How's camp going? To a man, every player, toughest camp I've ever been in. Yeah, it's physical. It's every day. It's competitive. And it seems like that's the message that has come down from Coach Coughlin down to Coach Marone. I've interviewed Coach Coughlin before when he was with the Giants. He and Coach Marone, they're on the same page, right? They sound like they're cut from the same cloth.
Seems like it. Yeah.
They're cut from the same cloth. And so the players seem to, they understand that it's been tougher or tough in training camp. But you can clearly tell that they're bought in because they want to win. And that was, I got that message from Coach Marone loud and clear as well.
Compared to the other camps you've seen so far on your tour, how does this one, just watching practice today, how does it look? Is it different?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple that have really kind of stood out. I mean, I was at the Arizona Cardinals when they were in a scrimmage, so it was a different setting, really. Baltimore was physical. Some of the others, not so much, but there was, this was very competitive, a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of competition, and this is the first camp I've been to in the 6 days where the guys are running wind sprints across the field at the end, right? I thought that was from the days of Vince Lombardi. I thought they could do the grass drills, you know, get up and down in the grass. Clearly this team's being pushed hard. And one of the things that Coach Marone said when I sat with him was, we talked about every year I've come to this team, and every year more and more players have been added that generate excitement. And on paper, it looks like a fantastic roster. And as Coach said, we've kind of had enough of all of that outside noise now, and it's just outside noise. Now it's time to win, because everyone's kind of, you can't keep saying that year after year, and felt like it was going to be a big year because of that.
They do up and downs also here at the start of
practice.
Do
they really?
Yes,
okay,
they do.
Good,
so not, you know, good. You missed it. You didn't get out there early enough to see it. Neil Reynolds is with us from Sky Sports Television in the UK. Obviously, Doug Marone's been around the NFL for a long time as an assistant, as a head coach, and again as an assistant with the Jags. But you have quite a history with Doug, right?
I do. I reminded him of that because he would never have remembered it. But my very first professional player that I interviewed was Doug Marone. So I was 19 years old. I was a journalism student, and I went for a day to cover the London Monarchs, who are based in Bushey, just outside of London. I had no way of getting there. My father worked for a transport company, so I got a ride with one of his truck drivers, dropped me off. I interviewed the players. The first player I interviewed was Doug Marone, and then I finished the day with the Monarchs, got back on another truck coming home. So I'm sitting in the back of this truck. It's not quite the glorious, glamorous start to a journalistic career, but Doug says that's kind of why I'm where I am now, because I interviewed him first.
That's what it was. It was all Doug.
Yeah.
You learned some toughness early.
Yeah, and I also learned he likes to play darts, and really? He likes shepherd's pie. So there you go.
Well, he must have spent some time in London, it sounds like.
So I think he has enjoyed some of our local culture and customs.
Do you remember the interview? Anything about it?
The only thing I would remember, I remember sitting in we were sat in a locker room, and I had the old kind of Marantz tape recorders that would full size tape in it, and I remember just like trying to hold the microphone, and my hands betrayed me, and my hand wouldn't stay still, and it's kind of shaking because I was finally interviewing a professional player. I'll tell you the other thing, and this is my big bugbear when we have journalists who cover the NFL in the UK. If they turn up wearing, if they're a fan of a team or something, obviously you work with the Jags, you're wearing Jag stuff, but
sure. But
if you're just a fan, you don't dress like a fan.
That's right.
So I went on that day wearing my brand new London Monarchs t-shirt as well. Mm. So I went full on fanboy turned journalist.
Did he call you out for that?
I don't think he did. No, he was far too professional and nice. But yeah, it was just an interesting little how things have come full circle.
Year five for the Jaguars, Neil, in London. Week three, early birds this year over there. The Baltimore Ravens, week three. Will they or will they not have Joe Flacco? That's a question we'll find out closer to time. He's out with a back injury right now, I believe. But the Jags have tried to figure out a way to win. And in the last couple of years, they've been exciting finishes, and the Jags have got the job done. New regime now, earlier game. How about 3-2 in London?
Yeah, I think the Jags have really entertained us the last couple of years, and I think this is going to be a close game. I mean, traditionally, looking at that, we were kind of looking at this how you sell these games, and the Rams and Cardinals is a division game, the Browns are an underdog, yeah. And I actually said to NFL UK one, I said, Jags and Ravens, they're always nail biters. This is the one, if you want an edge of your seat game, it always seems to be that way when you guys play against the Ravens. So. You know, I'm kind of excited where this team can go still. I like what I saw in Blake Bortles, the year before last. Just really hope he can get back on track. I think he probably, you would know better than me, but he seems like he gets a lot of criticism because he's a quarterback. That's the life.
You're accurate. He does get a lot of criticism, but he's got to fight through it.
Yeah, so he's got to fight through that, and I hope he can do that. This is clearly a talented team. So now it's fascinating to kind of watch what goes into making an NFL team, because you've got all this talent and then a different approach at the top. How does that trickle down. That's going to be interesting. Just going back to Flacco, I was there in Baltimore at their practice, and he was kind of in getting treatment. He came out, we sat and did a one-on-one. He's either the most relaxed man on the planet, and John Harbaugh did say he's kind of all that way, always that way, or he's just not that worried, because he was like, yeah, I'll be back. I think I'll be back in a week or so. It's just a bit of rehab.
He could have been
so
medicated, too.
He could have been.
You never know.
No, that's a fair point. I hadn't really thought of that, and the cynic in me should have thought of that first. So I'm glad you got there with that one. But I think we'll see Joe Flacco in the lineup.
Next couple of days for you, where are you?
So
on the tour.
Off to the Miami Dolphins tomorrow. So, got some chance to catch up with Adam Gase and our British running back, Jay Ajayi. So Dolphins, and then we finish up with the Cleveland Browns. And then it's, home time. And it'll be good to get home and see the family. But they'll be a part of this. It'll be a little bit kind of sad to give up the trip. To do 8 teams in 8 days, we kind of challenged ourselves. It's been a lot of fun, and always good to come and see the Jags. You guys always roll out the red carpet, give us such a warm welcome, and I think that's why we're seeing so many Jags fans kind of growing in the UK. To people really recognize and appreciate the continued commitment to the UK.
It's always great to see you, and we appreciate your time. And we'll see you week 3 at Wembley.
I'm off to an airport.
Yes, you are. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you.
Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports TV in the UK will come back with discussion of Blake Bortles. How has he rebounded from the 5-pick practice the first day in pads? This is the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
Coming up at Daly's Place tonight, Foreigner, Cheap Trick, and Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. Tony, for you, Kids Bop is Saturday, August 5th.
Nice.
Future.
I'm going to that.
Wednesday, August 16th.
I'm going to
Future.
Schedule
and tickets available at dailysplace.com. The Doug Marone Show continues. No Doug this week. He'll be back with us week 1. No shows the next 4 weeks because preseason Jaguar games here on the network. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Yes, Tony.
I keep on jumping the gun
on
this coach's show. I'm not very good at the coach's show.
No.
I'm warming up for the next show.
is that what it is?
Yeah, it's warm up.
Okay, great.
Is it good if you go to a concert and you don't know one? I can't name one song. I'm going to that Future concert. I think he's a rapper.
Yes. He is.
I can't name one song.
I've never heard of him.
I've heard of him because my boy, there's like one song I think I kind of recognize my boys played, but
don't let me be any kind of an indicator on that.
No, I'm not.
Anything,
trust
though.
Me. No,
when
I know.
It comes to music.
I got invited. I'm going to go.
Why not? Expand your horizons, Tony.
Oh, I like all kinds of music. I like some R&B, some rap, country, old rock, a little metal.
We need to quickly get into Blake Bortles. And
sorry,
Saturday the first.
I got my Bortles shirt on, by the way.
Oh, I see that. Blake Bortles Foundation shirt.
I do.
If you're watching on Jaguars.com.
You played in that, did you?
I did.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Not very well either.
Well, I didn't expect
golf
you
tournament,
to.
By the way, for those that are wondering.
So
I've seen you swing the club lately.
Yeah. It's not good.
A lot was made of the.
It's not good at all.
A lot was made of the first padded practice. 5 interceptions. That was the headline. He throws 5 picks. Well, the next, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday comes out and didn't have as many picks. Is he bounced back from that, and was it as bad as advertised?
Well, were the 5 as bad as advertised? I mean, they weren't great. But, you know, one of the things is, look quarterbacks are going to throw picks in training camp. I mean, it's going to happen. And I think in training camp, quarterbacks sometimes have to try certain things maybe that you wouldn't try in a game. So, I mean, those can happen. But, you know, look, you just can't have that become a consistent issue with them. Monday, I thought his practice was really sharp, particularly at the end. He had a wheel route that he threw to the running back. He had a go route to Marquise Lee and started out, I thought, that practice, you know, with some high-efficiency stuff. And so it was a good bounce-back practice. Today, 2 interceptions. One of them was a contested ball, you know, which is going to happen. You know, bounces out of the receiver's hands because the defender has tight coverage. The second one that I saw, and I don't know if he had any more other than that because I didn't watch every single drill, but the second one was essentially a tight red area 7-on-7. And when you have a 7-on-7, that means there's no big guys up front. You've got a pretty clear picture of what you've got for as far as passing the ball.
Not much of a pass rush, I don't think, in 7-on-7.
No, and it wasn't a good decision. It was a bad decision, and it was an easy pick in the end zone, and you can't have that in the tight red area. So, you know, look, it's I think in training camp, it's not about where he's at. It's that are you seeing consistent improvement day in and day out? You know, is he trending towards when they get to the opener, he's going to be ready to go? You know, because last year we thought he was going to come out and have a phenomenal year because we were so impressed with what he was able to do in the preseason. So this year I'm going to say, hey, look, let's wait. And then when it comes to the real games in September, that's when he has to play well.
He didn't answer your question whether he rebounded or not. That was like a 10-minute dissertation of saying nothing. But the reality is, I'm gonna stand right by it. It was as bad as it was advertised.
Okay.
Saturday night. It is just a practice, but it's more than just a practice when you're coming off a year that Blake did, with the expectations and all the work he's done. I've also seen, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday, he makes some really nice throws, really great throws, some just BBs. I mean, just right on target, tight areas, good reads, and so. Whether he rebounded or not, I don't like – if you have to answer that question at this time for your franchise quarterback, that's the wrong question to be asking. I think the question is do we feel like he can win football games for us yet? Or can he lead this team to, you know, compete for the division title? I'm not going to make that ultimate judgment. I said in the offseason, one way or another, I will reserve ultimate judgment until first the preseason games and then when it's for real, opening day, and we'll see what we got. Jeff, the one thing Jeff is correct about is seeing him how he trends is important, and we're at the very beginning part of that.
I think one important thing, though, that you want him having consistent trending up performances in training camp. You know, he had a year last year that I guarantee you that there were players in that locker room that were going, he needs to be out. He's not playing well. And I'm not saying that – I mean, I've never heard anybody say that. But look.
You're assuming.
It would be like ridiculous to think that that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's natural, right?
Yes. Because you know what? I'm like the last person in the world to criticize a player, and it got to the point last year I said, it's time for him to get benched. It wasn't good. So I think the performance that he has in training camp in the preseason, he needs to show his teammates that he can lead them to victory. That's important.
Let's come back and get into the offensive line. It's about that time where they said they might have their best five picked out before they go to New England. We'll get Tony Boselli's top five when we come back on the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
Back on the Doug Marone Show, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, the head coach, will be back with us week one. Next four Thursdays, we have preseason football on the network. We're also on Jaguars.com and all the Jaguars social channels tonight. Ashlyn Sullivan, Hollywood Max Holland, what's his name? Max Hockman, yes.
Hollywood.
At the controls over there tonight.
That's very encouraging for Max.
Offensive line, Brandon Albert retires on Monday. Is it Cam Robinson's job, Tony? Left tackle.
Yeah. He'll be the starting left tackle. I doubt in my
They're
mind.
They're not giving it to him yet. They're not giving it to him, Tony.
Okay.
I'm just asking you.
Would you like to make a friendly wager?
No, I agree with you.
I don't care where he is right now. Outside of an injury, he is the starting left tackle.
They got Josh Wells working with the ones.
Yeah.
Outside of an injury, Cam Robinson is the starting left tackle on this football team.
Okay.
And they hope for about the next 10 years.
Sure. I think we all do.
But he is the next – he's the starting left tackle this year.
10 years.
Well, I mean –
what do you think of him so far?
I think he's a big, physical, athletic guy who has natural power. Some technical things I think he can do better to help himself. I think he makes it a little bit harder on himself sometimes, but he's so athletic he gets away with it. Needs to mature a little bit mentally. too many offsides. He catches the ire of Flats and Flattery, the offensive line coach, and Doug Marrone.
We've heard Doug get after him a little
and,
bit.
And gets kicked out of the drills.
But he likes hard coaching, he says.
Whatever. he can't jump offsides. He jumps offsides too much, Logs. I asked you today. I mean, yeah. I wasn't there today, but every practice I've seen so far, he's jumped offsides. But he's your starting left tackle. Not a doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I thought he had and today, you know, they have a drill. One of them's called we call it pace party, and essentially a one-on-one run blocking drill. Mm. And it's good to, you know, you get fits. It's working on the power and it's a good drill for offensive linemen. And then they kind of do it to where they get two guys on a defender. He was matched up against Dante Fowler, who can rock some people's worlds now when he brings it in that drill.
He put Potassi on his backside the other night.
Oh, yeah. And
that's your favorite play of camp so far, I think. You bring that up a lot.
That was a heck of a play.
It was a great play.
But there was another one today.
Doesn't mean anything.
I'll tell you about it in a minute. But I thought the matchup of Cam and Dante, I thought that was good because, you know, Dante's pretty strong.
He's a violent
and he's
person.
Quick and he's physical. Powerful. And he packs a very good punch, and so I thought Cam did well in that. His one-on-one pass pro was good, although Ngakoue got him with his patented, you know, jump, chop, swim on one move. But overall, I thought Cam Robinson had a pretty good day. But to talk about where Dante got Potassi in that one-on-one pace party drill, today Malisha Goodman got Genesee, the offensive lineman, and it was an inside – arm, Tony. It wasn't like the pop inside arm and put Genesee on his back.
In the pace party?
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to make that happen.
I mean, that's pretty strong, and it was a one-arm pancake.
I don't think I ever saw that.
That was a good one.
See, you got to get stuffed, maybe driven back a little bit, but never pancaked.
No. No, we didn't. I don't think I ever saw one of them.
No.
This year's there's been two.
Two already.
And even at the beginning of camp when we'd go full speed at each other. Now, obviously once the season started, there was going to be no
we didn't go full speed.
Beginning of camp, first practice or so, we'd go at it pretty good.
You know who always went at it pretty good?
Leon.
Leon Searcy. If you were lining up across from Leon Searcy in pace party, which is, again, that run blocking to offensive defensive lineman, you better buckle up if you're on defense.
The Jags wanted their best five before they went to New England. Who are the best five right now, Tony?
My starting offensive line as of today would be Cam Robinson, Patrick Wamame, Brendan Linder, A.J. Cann, and Jeremy Fornell.
Same for you. Yeah, same for me.
Let's come back and get into the defensive side of the ball. We haven't talked defense much. A lot of offensive talk.
I've had a good camp overall, I think.
That's still to come. We've got to talk this weekend, too. The Jags are heading out of town Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty to get to.
Oh, we have plenty of time, too, JP.
This is the Doug Marrone Show, Tony, on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Thank you.
It's very tough, you know. He's a very good receiver. Playing against him since he's been in Jacksonville, we usually was doubling him. And, you know, just to have that one-on-one matchup with him, and he's a big body, that's only going to make me better. Key's bringing something different, quick guy, you know, downfield speed, so you got to stay on top. And, you know, Hearns is good in the slot, but right now the toughest one, in my opinion, is, you know, Robinson.
A.J. Boye today discussing the Jaguars receivers facing off against them in practice. That's pretty fun battle so far. Doug Marrone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, Boye, A-Rob. That's the premier matchup right now each day.
That was a good one today. Yeah. A-Rob had a catch on him, and, I mean, A.J. was all over him. And Allen still makes the catch. You know, it's fun to watch Boye now. I mean, he can play. And I think the one thing that is starting to stand out that I think is a little different, you're seeing more contested balls by the defense so far this year in training camp than you've seen in the past. And that's what you want. I mean, that's been an issue. I mean, the number of interceptions by the defensive backs, you know, prior to, you know, if you take out Jalen Ramsey, has not been very high. And I think A.J. Boye's going to help that out. He plays tight in coverage. And from watching Church and Gibson communicate in the back end, You know, when they get everybody, all the pieces up and running, you know, with Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Colvin, that secondary is going to be fun to watch.
We haven't heard an official timetable for those two to return off PUP, but I don't think there's any rush right now, right, to get Colvin and Jalen going. Is
no,
there,
I mean, there's not a rush, but, I mean, look, you want them to get some reps. Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't want all of a sudden, you know, week one is the first time that you're seeing them in game action. You know, you'd like to see them get, you know, start practicing maybe, you know, after the New England Patriots game to where they can get, you know, a little bit of game exposure and then hit the ground rolling, you know, week one.
Yeah, I mean, I think to the PUP question, in a perfect world, you'd like them out there, but have them available to play the second and third preseason game and then rest for that fourth. At the minimum, you want them there for the third. So I think if you're being optimistic in what's best for this defense as far as reps and everything else, that we get a report after that New England game that both Ramsey and Colvin are off the PUP lifts. I mean, I don't know if we're going to, but that would give them 2 weeks of good work preparation, then a week off before the regular season.
Yeah, and who knows? We haven't seen anything do anything on the field. True. So, I mean, we have no idea.
Let's finish our defensive talk. When we come back, we'll preview the rest of the weekend schedule for the Jaguars. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
There are only three more training camp dates open to the public this summer, including tomorrow night's family night at Everbank Field, and then two workouts against the Buccaneers week two of the preseason. To attend, register at jaguars.com/training camp. To attend tomorrow night, visit jaguars.com/family night. Final moments of the Doug Marone Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. We'll get to tomorrow night coming up. Let's finish our defensive discussion. The elite pass rush is what this defense has been missing. A couple of things this defense has been missing, but that's probably number one on the list. Maybe a game-closing type of pass rush. Can Yannick Ngakoue be that guy?
Well, I don't think he can be that guy by himself. You know, I think that Calais Campbell is going to be a big part of that. He returned to practice at least in dress today, but I didn't see him do a whole lot, so I don't know what his status is. But it's got to be a group type thing. But, you know, I wanted to point out Ngakoue because, you know, we watch the practice and you watch guys, how they play, but you also watch their body language, how they work, their attention to detail, how they take coaching. And I must say that Ngakoue has been one of the most impressive guys in training camp because he comes to work every day. He works his butt off. He is clearly trying to work on what has been viewed as his deficiency, which is run defense, which it is. That's what his weakness is. And he's working hard at it. I mean, he wants to get better. And he works at his craft. He works at his pass rush. He never wastes a rep. I mean, watching him play in practice is fun. I mean, I can tell you from a player standpoint, I'd take him as a teammate any day of the week.
Basically, what Jeff just described is he's a pro. I mean, he's a pro. Watch him practice. He's a pro. You can tell he prepared in the offseason. He's in shape. He goes hard. He's working on his craft. He's the best pure pass rusher. I think his numbers will be helped because instead of just Malik pushing inside, you'll have two big guys pushing the pocket, make it harder for quarterbacks to step up. Still got to get production over on the other side, though. And I'm still hesitant. You get too excited about that.
About the other side.
Yes.
Which is Dante Fowler. You know, and Tony and I don't know how many times that we've mentioned this, but when you have a skill set like Dante Fowler, I want to see him do one thing. I want to see him come off the ball and get 3 to 4 steps up the field right now. And then once you get there, be an athlete. If he would just do that, he's got a chance every play.
He'll fall into some.
He doesn't need to fall in.
Just be there.
He has to threaten the tackles with speed because that's one of his gifts is quickness and speed. But a lot of times he comes off and
choppy feet,
and he's doing the dance, and you're not threatening what your gift is. You know, and if he would do that consistently, play in and play out, and then just get to that point, and then from that point, be an athlete. He will be just fine, but he's got to learn that.
Family night tomorrow night at Everbank Field. Gates at 5:15. The practice from 6 to 8:30. No media coverage, so you got to check it out. Jaguars.com/family night to register for free tickets. Well done, guys.
Thank you very much.
Tony Buscelli. Glad you could join us tonight, Tony.
Yes.
Jeff Loggeman.
He's the angry Tony Buscelli. That's kind of like the angry Doug Marone picture on our
If you right want here. More angry Tony Buscelli, stick around in our flagship station, 1010XL. Jaguars Thursday is coming up. Also on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars social media outlets. Thanks for listening to the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.